You got to know before you go.
That, they say that. You have to know before you go.
I need to congratulate one Bill Leff for a fantastic job as Ebenezer Scrooge.
That's very nice of you.
You know, it's too bad the SAG Awards and the Golden Globe Award nominations have already been announced, because I think you'd qualify.
Do you really, Ryan? Thank you. That's
so
nice of you.
I think so. I put you in.
Thanks.
You were so entertaining.
Everybody, you know, there was not a weak link. Everybody in the show really took
Oh, no, there were weak links.
Oh, there were a couple weak links. There were a few weak links. But, boy, was that fun, wasn't it? Isn't that, it just, it brings you back to the 1940s when they did those regularly, and it makes you just, it makes me anyway go, oh, I wish I was around for that, because I love doing those.
I know there's a lot of work involved, and Kevin Richter, great job producing that, you along with Stephanie Menendez, you know, directing it, Carl Amari, of course.
Yep.
And every time I have Calamari, I think,
of Carl
Amari.
Amari. Yeah.
I would love to do that like once a month.
I'm in.
I mean, I know.
I bet you wouldn't. You
it's
say that now.
It's a ton of work.
When April rolls around and you get the script of Newsies.
I'm not
doing
this.
You're like, oh boy, here we go.
It's so fun, and I'm such an audio geek that I was really loving the old-time microphones that we used.
Yeah.
That was really exciting to me.
That added to it. Everything. Oh, it's just so much fun to do those. Yeah.
A great job by everyone. And we would like to give back to you, the listener. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it as well. Again, a round of applause for Bill Leff as Ebenezer Scrooge.
And I'm told you were fabulous. I don't know what that means.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We have a Firehouse Subs gift card to give away right now as part of the Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs lunch break. And if you'd like it, I'd say be lucky caller number 7. Lucky caller number 7, 312-981-7200. If you don't win the Firehouse Subs gift card, just go into a Firehouse Subs, ask for the Bill and Wendy special. You'll get the seasonal turkey and cranberry sub for only $4.99. Find a Firehouse Sub near you at firehousesubs.com. Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen. We have a lot of show and a little bit of time, so we're going to take a quick break. And I believe on this very special holiday edition of the Bill and Wendy Show, we have booked Barack Obama.
Yeah, Barack Obama will be on speaking to us exclusively. I don't think he's doing this anywhere else.
It's not true.
That not true? I'm sorry, I might be reading that wrong. So he's got something to say to the American public, and he will do that in just a little bit. Stick around. A lot more coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
At ADP, we know how valuable your time is, so we'll keep this nice and short. ADP offers the service, technology, and expertise to handle all your payroll and HR needs, letting you spend more time with your business. And we're done. See? We saved you time already. Join the 650,000 other companies saving time and growing their businesses by visiting ADP.com or dialing 800-CALL-ADP to learn about our limited time year-end offers. ADP, a more human resource.
Make getting around in the winter easy and comfortable by reserving your parking spots with Spot Hero. Don't circle the block looking for parking in the cold. Just download the free Spot Hero app. Find an amazing spot, book, and pay ahead, and get everywhere easier. Chicago winters are way more enjoyable when you use Spot Hero for all your parking needs. Plus, enter promo code SNOW at checkout for an extra $10 off your first park. That's promo code SNOW. Spot Hero. Winter parking saved.
This holiday season, treat your family and friends to Jameson's Char House. I know that my wife Gloria and I will be there often, and with all the variety you find on their menu, everyone is sure to find their favorite dish. Try a fresh fish favorite like the cedar plank salmon, or maybe the Greek-style Alaskan halibut. And then, of course, there's always the steak and lobster, always a hit. Jameson's Char House, offering lunch and dinner, or try the carryout. And now, when you purchase a $100 gift card, you will receive a $25 bonus gift card free. Plus, be sure to book your holiday parties at Jameson's, because they are open during the holidays. So find a location near you or visit online at jamesons-charhouse.com. Jameson's Char House. I love this place.
When older adults need a hand and family members need peace of mind, they turn to the leading choice for top quality in-home care. Call Home Care Assistance. Trained quality caregivers provide live-in and hourly assistance with their unique balanced care method, promoting healthy mind, body, and spirit with diet, exercise, social ties, mental stimulation, purpose, and calm, supporting mom and dad's desire to stay independent and comfortable in their own home. For Chicago and suburbs, call Home Care Assistance for a free assessment, 847-853-7777, or you can visit homecareassistance.com. Need to thank a couple of people extra. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Anna of Chicago Heights. Bill, we just shared a Firehouse Subs gift card with Anna from Chicago Heights. So if
we sure did.
If you didn't win one, you can go to firehousesubs.com. Also, getting back to the play, the radio drama that we did of A Christmas Carol. Bill Leff, great job.
That's very nice of you. Everybody involved did a wonderful job. It was so much fun to do.
So that was just you thanking the little people.
Right.
No, I want to really thank the tag team of Bill and Bill, the engineers.
Oh, they made that sound like
all the sound effects.
Yeah. It was as fresh as could be. It sounded great. They did a nice job.
What did they call that, the sound effects guy back in the old days of radio?
Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember what it's called.
Harold?
No.
The one time it was a guy named Harold, so yes,
A Foley.
Was it Foley?
A Foley guy. Matt Foley lives in a van down by the river.
Well, strangely, they reminded me to exfoliate right before the show, so I bet that's why it got its name.
Foley.
Yeah.
Exfoliate.
Yeah, so that was good.
Thank you, Bills.
Yeah, that was just fun.
All the
and they're
going to
run
Look
it again
that.
On Christmas Eve, I think I was told. They're going to rerun that.
Are you going to be honest?
Yeah.
Are you going to listen to it to see how you did?
Please. No, yeah, if I'm near a radio, I will definitely do it.
Honest to God, you were so believable. Oh, this thanks. Was even better acting than Major League.
Is that true? Well, thank you.
I mean, you really brought it today, Bill.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You, by the way, I want to thank you for something. You got the same gift for Kevin and for Steve and myself.
It was so sweet.
And we're all going to wear them on the same day.
Well, here's the thing. You know, it's funny. I actually emailed Steve, butt in, and I know you will. But when the president is about ready to speak, please let us know.
Sure.
Or let the president know that we're not done yet.
Hold on, Mr. President.
I saw this thing in GQ, 10 gifts that no man wants to get for the holiday. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the item that I got all three of you, it says don't get that for a guy. One of them is a wallet. Don't get a wallet for a guy because they like to pick it out.
It's very personal. A wallet is a hard gift to give somebody.
Although
you have certain likes and dislikes in a wallet, so I agree with that one.
Although I'm getting one of my sons and my husband a new wallet for Christmas, and they asked for it.
Oh. Mine has a little picture of a cowboy on it.
I never would have picked that one for you. Another one not to get a guy, according to GQ, is pajamas.
And yet, knowing that, what did you get for Steve and for Kevin and myself?
Blackhawks pajama bottoms.
Very nice. And we're going to go topless, too, which I love. I feel freer.
I'm just going to wear the bottoms and probably a bow tie.
All right, here's what it says. Pajama pants, why we hate it, a bow tie, great. Giving a man pajama pants basically says, hey, I know how often you lounge around the house for hours of your day. Here are some pants just for this. That's not why I did it.
I don't think it says that at all.
I know you guys like the Blackhawks.
Love the Blackhawks.
You and Kevin more than Bertrand, but I wanted you guys to have matching
pants.
It's a little fantasy I have.
In case we ever have a sleepover somewhere, we can all wear
them. Another one.
Right.
Last year.
And Kevin said there wouldn't be another one. But
no, there's going to be every year.
I think so. I feel good about
it. Every year.
Tell me when the MyPillow fight is going to happen and somebody videotape it.
After the tops are off.
But last year I bought those. Well, Santa gave those to my boys, all of them, Jimmy included.
You got them?
And I bought myself a pair.
Yeah, comfortable.
Wrapped it up from Santa, you know, because Santa forgets me every year.
Sure.
Either that or he'll give me coal.
Oh.
And I'm telling you, on a weekend, you will find all four of us in them. I mean, they're so comfy. Just flannel, Blackhawks, plaid, pajama pants.
And no shirts. That's curious.
Well, I can't afford.
Right.
Blackhawks stuff
for
all
everybody.
Of you.
Right.
And then you gave me a fantastic holiday platter, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
I love to entertain. My dining room table is cleaned off still from Thanksgiving.
It's nearly a month, Wendy. We're in Guinness territory.
I know.
That's pretty good.
And Kevin, you gave me a bottle of wine that you were talking about. It's called Carnivore with no E at the end, and I've been dying to try it. But I have to tell you, the best present I got was from our own Steve Bertrand.
Oh, go on.
We were jokingly, you know, GQ puts these things together. Don't buy somebody a wallet or pajama pants or a box set, which I find is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want a box set if it's something you love?
Of course. Yeah, that's not a bad gift.
GQ doesn't know what they're talking about.
Although it's tricky because if there's an artist that you like, you probably have most of their work already. So the box set's a little...
But a special collector's edition that just comes out,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, then it's good. Yeah, then it's pretty good.
But again, we were talking about gifts and what not to give, and we jokingly said, you know, what, do you give a picture of yourself to someone?
And I did not hear that when you guys said
that. You might have been off that day. Well, you're off every day, but that's okay.
Oh, Steve.
So I open this up, and I'm like, oh, my God. He gave me an 8x10 autograph glossy of someone. Who is it? Is it a celebrity that I love?
Looks like maybe a high school student or a college kid, maybe.
It does look like on the cusp of college.
Wide-eyed, the whole world ahead of them.
And it says, Happy Christmas, baby. And it's signed by the celebrity that it is, Steve Bertrand.
A young Steve Bertrand.
I want to say that's from, I have a lot of those. No one wanted my pictures in the mid-90s.
Were you, no, so wait. You have a surplus?
Not that they do, yeah.
But those weren't publicity pictures,
yes.
Steve.
Yeah, they were.
What do you think they were, a school picture?
It looks like his school picture.
It's black and white.
No, those are publicity pictures from here.
This is his headshot.
Look at how young.
How old were you here, Bertrand?
I'm going to say that was, let's go 94, so.
Oh, you look so young
30
there.
30 years old, 31.
And it looks like... There was more of you then.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't you see that? You don't think so?
Maybe. I always take fat-faced pictures.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Thanks for bringing that up and making him feel self-conscious.
All right. Happy Christmas to you, Bill.
Bill's a fattest.
I'll get you something next year.
Weigh and measure it before you give it to
him. It's a compliment because I'm saying now, as you've reached old age, you're much thinner.
Oh, so he's old?
Right. Yeah.
See what I mean?
Kind of.
I just love it. You have really big glasses because those were very popular in the 90s.
Well, I wanted to get you something memorable, Wendy.
Oh, this is.
Those are big glasses, Steve.
And I didn't want to spend any money.
There's a second shot of Harry Carey telling Steve he needs smaller glasses.
The good news is I was looking for a new frame for another picture I have. So
use that frame. That's a great frame.
I think that's perfectly acceptable.
You are adorable. I'm going to go to Kinko's on the way home, get it blown up, and put it on my bedroom ceiling.
That won't be the first ceiling I've been on. I mean, there's mine.
All right. When is the President of the United States of America?
Whenever he damn well pleases.
All right, the President, Wendy.
Thank you, one and all.
I'm listening in my right ear, and I haven't gotten any guidance, like a two-minute warning yet or anything like that, so I just don't know. He's supposed to start at 1:15.
The gist of today's speech, Steve, I'm guessing, is about affairs with Russia.
Well, he does this, you know, I think he does it pretty much every year before he leaves for Hawaii for the holidays. So it's kind of routine, but I think probably Russia will dominate.
Any update on the Prez, Steve Bertrand? Because we have more stuff we can do.
We're still waiting.
Go ahead. We're still waiting.
Can I read you a quick text about just that? 630 says, I find it extremely rude of politicians when they say they're going to speak at a certain time and then they go way over that. I wonder if they would give us the same respect if we had an appointment with them and just decided to wander in whenever we felt like it. I'm sure they wouldn't be thrilled with that. But I guess you afford them a little more leeway because they're, in this case, the president.
I think he's finishing up his packing because in past years, I think they do almost go right to the helicopter.
Really? Is that true? Yeah.
Oh, right after he says something?
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm figuring out that whenever you have an appointment for something, it never holds true. I don't know how many times, and I'm sure it's happened to you, you have a doctor's appointment at a specific time and you get there and it's still an hour wait.
Sure. You can't predict an exact time.
But then how can they give me an exact time?
I think in those cases, they want you there at a certain time in hopes. You know, it's just a fingers crossed hope that that opening will be there. But for them, it's more fluid if the patient is there a little early just so that everything's running in order. You know?
I get there. See,
you get there on time?
When I have an actual hard start of something like a haircut appointment or nail appointment, I get there probably about 10 minutes early just so I can get settled in.
Sure.
my husband, if his appointment's at noon, he leaves the house at noon.
Oh, he does. Oh,
that's bad form. He could be president one day.
That's probably why you have to wait so long at doctors, because he's probably on the schedule before me, and he's late, and then the whole rest of the day
it's all messed up. I've said this about, you know, there was a time where you made reservations in a restaurant. You say 7:30, there's going to be four of us at 7:30. And then you come in, and then at 7:30, they call your name and
you sit
down.
You get seated.
That hardly ever happens anymore.
So why is anybody complaining about the president?
I don't know.
It's a loose start time. That's what everything is from now
right.
on. All right, can we give one more thing since we're feeling very Christmassy?
Boy,
after?
Are we generous.
We have a gift certificate for Baker Square. And I'm telling you, who doesn't want an awesome pie for Christmas? Spread holiday cheer to friends and family this season. Maybe it's a Hanukkah pie. Delicious pies either way from Baker Square, including classic pecan, holiday French silk, and candy cane. Ordering from Baker Square is as easy as pie at bakersquare.com. You pick the number this time.
Caller 15, 312-981-7200. Be caller 15. You will get an incredible pie from Baker Square.
All right. Now, what do we do? We are standing by. We're caught up on breaks and everything.
You should have things to talk about. You didn't have a show this morning, if we're going to say.
That's true, Steve. That's true.
No, I'm done.
Are you done?
I got nothing.
Should we talk more about my picture?
No, but do you mind if I take a picture of it? I know that's why you gave it to me and autographed
it's
it.
It's shocking to me that neither of you, and I think you're kidding me a little, but didn't recognize
me. I would
me.
Not know it was you.
You know, honestly, at first, I just unwrapped it and I saw this. I'm like, oh, an autographed picture of a celebrity. And then I'm looking going, oh, is this somebody from Stranger Things? Because it looks very dated.
Oh, no.
But you know what gave it away, Steve? Your eyes. Your twinkling eyes.
Knowing those eyes. Look how
look into
knowing
those
they are.
Eyes. Don't you know that's Bertrand?
I get hypnotized every time. I can't look. Look at me. I'm getting all hypnotized.
All right, we
that
have a winner.
Reminds me of a story about me.
Seriously?
No.
Oh. He's messing with you.
Sue from Chicago just scored our Baker Square gift card.
Sue, congratulations. And Sue is scheduled to speak right after Barack Obama, so we'll hear that, too. She'll be on time, though. That'll be the difference.
And when is Inauguration Day? The 20th?
The 20th.
Okay.
January the 20th.
If the president's wrapped up by then.
Right. Right.
Yeah, he can't be late getting out of the office.
He'll lose his security deposit.
Right. Thank you, Steve. Steve is monitoring the situation. We will be going live to President Barack Obama's speech to the American public. But first...
Well, President Obama knows one thing, Wendy, in his 8 years of office... You don't mess with Kurt Wagner. If Kurt Wagner's talking, you let Kurt Wagner continue to talk. And here is Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com to tell us what's going on in the world of television. How are you, Kurt? Everything good?
Hello.
Happy holidays, Kurt.
Happy holidays to you. Is it warm enough for you?
Yeah, thank you, Kurt. It's the perfect temperature. It couldn't be better.
You know,
thank you.
If you have nothing going on, the best thing to do is cuddle up on the couch and watch TV. I will tell
it
you that.
It is true. It is so true.
Yep. Yep. Can we start out, Kurt? I saw this yesterday, and I wasn't shocked by this, but I thought to myself, well, here's something novel. There's somebody coming to television with their own television show, and they've never had their own TV show, and it's Julia Roberts, right?
It is Julia Roberts.
What is she going to do?
She's going to be in this, I think it's based on a book. It's called Today Will Be Different.
What is that about? Do we know?
A different day than today.
It's about a day that is different from today.
She'll play this woman named Eleanor Flood.
Yeah.
And she is apparently a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And she decides that today in the title, is the day that she'll tackle little things that she's been neglecting. And, of course, things will get in the way, like her son and her husband.
Yeah.
And, you know, whoever else, friends, I suppose. But apparently the whole course of the series will take place in one day, although I'm not quite sure how they'll do
like that. Like 24?
Yeah, well, I don't think they'll have a countdown clock, probably. But yeah. But I'm looking at this Variety thing. It says, they quote the press release as saying, it's a hilarious, heart-filled story.
Oh, all right. Then I'll watch it. I didn't know that part.
I like her.
She's hard not to
like. She's also producing it, so it doesn't have a home yet, but they're probably going to shop it around, and it probably won't take long.
I think if you're Julia Roberts, you don't have a hard time selling almost any project you bring, right?
No, I don't think so crazy.
Now, a couple of years ago, she never had a regular television series, but she was in a TV movie called The Normal Heart, which she also co-produced that, and that was really good. She was great in it, and that was an interesting movie.
Yeah, and that was an unusual role for her.
Yeah, she was a doctor.
Yeah.
Who had polio, right? Does that sound right?
I think so, yeah.
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 All right, so we don't know when it's going to be on. We don't know where we can watch it.
Probably be next year sometime, I would guess.
Well, yeah, because we've only got 2 weeks left in this year.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we like Kurt Wagner.
I don't think it'll be 2018. I think it'll be 2017.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, she's not the only one of the big movie stars jumping to TV. Meryl Streep has a series coming up from J.J. Abrams called The
that?
Knicks. Called The Knicks, N-I-X. And what is that about?
The New York Knicks?
No.
No.
Does she play a point guard?
That would be the Knicks.
Oh. You know, she could play anything she wants.
She's that good.
I love Meryl Streep.
Yep.
It centers on a college professor whose estranged mother reappears decades after abandoning the family.
And she's the estranged mother.
And committed an absurd crime that incites a media frenzy. I think she plays the woman.
The mother.
Main woman, yeah. And then Robert De Niro's going to be in something with Julianne Moore that's going to be on Amazon.
Wow.
Jonah Hill and Emma Stone are doing something for Netflix. So, you know.
So now more than ever,
they go where the roles are.
If you're one of Hollywood's elite, you're not just doing movies, you're finding parts on TV as well.
Right. And voiceovers.
A lot of actors I've talked to have said, you know, that's where the really great roles are, especially now with all the streaming services doing things, and they're sort of hands off a lot of times with the production. You know, they find it's a new challenge to do six episodes instead of one movie or whatever. So, yeah.
I guess so. I have a question that certainly you can weigh in on, but I think it's more for Steve than for anybody. Steve, here is my question, if you're accepting questions. My question is this.
Hit me.
Barack Obama just spoke. Actually, he's still speaking.
He is.
Within the body of his speech, there was really no focus on Russia and their part in the election and computer hacking, but you had to know that would come up if you're turning it over to questions from the press. So why did he not address it? Why did he wait until it came up as a question?
Well, I think couple of things. One is he knew it was going to come up, so why not use the opening statement to make the point you wanted to make?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he did, you know, reviewing his time in the office and
patting himself on the back a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much. Is saying, hey, don't lose sight of the, you know, it's been a rough week with everyone talking about Aleppo and the administration's policies there, whether they should have done more or might have done more. So but I think when the ball's in his court, he's just reviewing sort of look where we've come in these 8 years.
It was a pat on the back. There's no question about it. But
as
at the same time, it was an admirable pat on the back. He talked about unemployment and where it was. It was hovering around 10-something, and now it's at 4.5. He talked about the stocks, oil prices. There was a lot there that you say, boy, if you're looking at where we were 8 years ago as opposed to today, things are in pretty good shape right now. So, yeah, there was that. But I really thought the gist of what he spoke about would have been Russia, but it didn't come up until the press asked him.
It did, and it dominated, and it will continue to dominate.
But I have a question, and it's probably a simple question that other people have. If there is an example of hacking from the Russians, don't we do something about it? What do we do? And if you just kind of say, yes, it appears that they aided in the election results, do we just let it go?
Can we go back quickly to the White House here? Something has happened inside the briefing room.
Somebody fainted in the White House briefing room, and when they went down, that's when everybody noticed. They're being brought out right now. The president is waiting for them to be brought out.
This is in the area.
We're going to go live to the White House now. ABC's Janae Norman. And Janae, this obviously unexpected, the president taking a break right now while this is handled.
Absolutely. And I mean, this area where the briefing room is has been packed for, a couple hours, at least an hour before the president started speaking. So there are a lot of people in that room.
Just go through the palm doors. It's right. right next
and
to
today, he's actually giving some directions right now to folks about where the doctor's office is and the exact doors that they should go through to get to those doors.
Okay.
It sounds like he's going to get going again.
Doctor's
person who fainted has been taken out. They're getting medical attention.
So
now let's listen back in.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to jump back in there.
No,
but
this
that was
your
moment. Just as you brought it up, and I wasn't sure exactly what was going on. I saw a number of reporters who are very recognizable around this person, but I got a quick look at the person who was ill and did not recognize
And that sounded
her.
Like Alex Stone that was doing
Alex
the report.
Stone.
And
yeah.
So we know he's okay. It's really jam-packed in there, and if they've been waiting for hours on end, all the oxygen is getting used up, and it's not very uncommon for people to faint in a situation that is it's packed in that room.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
So my question then, Steve, back to you, and I don't, you know, you're the expert out of all of us here. If we acknowledge, yes, it appears that the Russians had something to do with the results of the election, why don't we do something? What do we do? And, you know, how do you say, oh, yeah, we have news of it. It looks like that happened. But
well, here's what the president said. He said, well, look, I mean, obviously it had something to do with the election. It came out, you know, it was all against Hillary Clinton, and I mean, it's pretty obvious we were saying that this was where this was coming from, so that's pretty clear. He also said, look, Vladimir Putin isn't saying he's the one who did it. So, you know, when you commit some sort of cyber espionage or attack, you don't jump up and down and say, look at me, it's Ernest T. Mm-hmm. You do it surreptitiously. I think the implication is, so perhaps we have responded. Perhaps we have done things to make it clear to them that there is a price to be paid. But
what's the price? Am I missing something?
No, but that the president or the National Security Council or whomever isn't going to stand up and say, hey, we just did this. They did it privately. They did it where the damage was inflicted and that it was known damage. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Vladimir Putin didn't jump up and down and say, I did this.
Right.
So why would the U.S. jump up and down and say, look at us, we had the power to retaliate this way? They just do it and let it be felt by those upon whom the retaliation is based.
Steve, our relationship with Russia not that long ago, most specifically the Gorbachev years, were pretty favorable. We seemed to be on friendly terms with them. We're not on the most unfriendly terms with them, but I've heard several people say in the last 48 or more hours that they could potentially be our biggest enemy in the near future. Is that a possibility?
Well, I think Putin is the strongest Russian leader since, you know, probably Joseph Stalin. I mean, Khrushchev and Brezhnev each had pretty strong checks on them in the Politburo, and Putin does not have checks on him in the way that those Soviet leaders in the 70s and 80s did.
Yeah.
So I think there is difference there. Look, it needs to be captured. He is a bad actor in the world right now.
Yeah.
There was a time when it looked as if we could mold him into becoming a better actor in the days of the last days or long after the Cold War ended and he ascended into power. But his second sort of round in the presidency, he's been unchecked in many ways.
So for all the people who say with him being that potentially dangerous world leader, for all the people who say, but what Trump and his camp want to do is befriend him, and that would be a good thing to have him on our side, do you see it that way or do you not see it that way?
Well, I mean, wouldn't you rather be working with someone than, you know, antagonizing him than working against him?
Well, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
I mean, if he can develop a good relationship with him and one in which there is give and take on both sides, I would think most people would want that to happen.
Unless he's played the fool.
Unless he's played the fool.
Yeah, then it's a bigger problem.
And if they're hacking into our systems and doing stuff, and we saw some proof of that, I just don't understand why we let it go. What do we do to retaliate?
You're not catching what I'm saying.
No, I'm not. I'm honestly, Steve, I'm not.
Okay, look, we may well be retaliating.
Oh, but we're not announcing what we're doing.
Exactly.
Okay,
gotcha. We're not revealing what we can do. We're not making it public, but we may well be doing things.
Okay,
I
gotcha.
What the president was implying today.
Sorry, didn't get that.
That's okay.
I'm on vacation.
Are you on vacation?
Almost. We need to take a break again. Thank you for covering that. Thanks for your discussion. Dave Plyer is going to stop by. Isn't that what's going on next?
It's a holiday tradition that started back in
today.
And we'll talk to him right after the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, young lady, I know that hard work and hope and hope. Now listen, my children, and you shall hear a story fantastic, a story so queer. It's all about Santa and his helpers, three. There's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
Now Hard Rock's the driver up there by his sleigh. Coco reads Max and he shows him the way. Though old Santa really has no need for Joe, but take him 'cause he loves him so.
This, of course, a Chicago fixture for years and years and years on Garfield, Goose, and Friends. It's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe. Dave Plyer is here to tell us a little bit about Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe, and its companion, Susie Snowflake. Hi, Dave.
And Frosty this morning.
They were
Frosty. Frosty the Snowman, too.
She was a couple.
They were dating.
Dated Hard Rock for a while, Coco for a long time.
Joe, no, was Joe no, never Joe.
No, never Joe.
No, he was angry.
Yep.
Yep. It does bring back memories when you hear that. And do you want to hear my impression of Garfield Goose?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, wait.
Hold
I
on.
Can't do it now.
You got to cup it.
Yeah, you got to cup your hand.
Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
That's all it does.
Roy Brown.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It was Roy Brown doing the
Cookie.
Puppeteering.
Cookie the Clown.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
You guys can out-trivialize each other, and I will be amazed
he
with the
created
listeners.
Most of the other characters, I think. Robert Rabbit and all those other ones, too.
Yeah, Beauregard Hound.
Yeah.
What? Wow.
Yeah. And Christmas Goose. Just a wig. It was just a wig. Don't be fooled.
Well, Mama Goose was Garfield with a wig on.
Yes, that's true.
Lovely blonde curls, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pretty
that's
exciting.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And this year's the 60th anniversary of Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe. This Sunday, actually. December 18th.
Is it really?
So that's when it premiered. Because, you know, Garfield Goose actually premiered on WBBM back in the early 50s. It wasn't on WGN right away. It was WBBM. And then it moved in 1955 to WGN, where it was till I think 76. And all those years, they played all of these shorts. So even though they were produced in the early 1950s, it was 60 years ago this weekend that it premiered. And it's been a tradition, not only on that show, but then it was on Bozo Circus. And then it was on WGN Morning News, and I remember this going on there, you know, 15 years ago talking about this, that they would call in after Bozo was canceled and be like, you are playing these on Christmas
we
Eve, right?
See it.
Right. And they play that, and then it's on Bozo, Garden Raid, WGN TV Classics.
Other than Chicago, they obviously didn't make these just for the Chicago market. So in other cities, were they being shown on kids' television shows in the morning?
It was. There's a television station. There's only one that I could find that is like WGN that still play it also. There's a Philadelphia, I think a CBS affiliate, that still plays it every year. And some of those versions, because there's a couple different versions of that are on YouTube, but there was one other town that loves it as much as we do, and that's Philly.
I thought it was just us. I thought we were the lucky ones.
No.
The company that made it, Centaur Productions.
Yeah. So this was a guy by the name of Wa-Ming Chang, who was a sculptor at Walt Disney, who created like the sculpture for Pinocchio, for the Pinocchio movie, and then George Pal, who was a Academy award-winning
Time Machine
producer. Yeah. That's right.
He did
that's
the
right.
Time Machine.
Yep. And it was stop motion animation. So it's kind of like a precursor to all that Rankin and Bass, Rudolph, and all that stuff that, you know, we grew up watching.
Yeah.
That was the very early stages of all that.
Anybody who's ever seen it knows that the Santa Claus version that you see in Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe has a very Asian looking, looking features.
Yeah.
Was there a reason behind that?
Well, it was produced. I don't think it was produced in China. I think it was produced here, but Wa-Ming Chang was the producer, so that might be. And Steve, just so you know, Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe, all three are dead.
They're all gone.
I just want to let
them
know.
They're only going to die once. All right, can we play Susie Snowflake too? Because it's a big, dilemma. I don't know which I like better. So, Kevin, let me know when you're ready to roll with Susie Snowflake.
Okay.
Take a sleigh ride, the ride's not
Dave, do we know, is it the same singers on Susie Snowflake as they used for Hard Rock Cocoa and Joe?
It sounds like it, though.
Very similar style.
No, and I want to be careful because one of these will be my trivia question because we've got a couple DVDs to give away. But it was the Norman Luboff Choir, which was a backup like group for Frank Sinatra and Harry Belafonte.
Wow.
So it's a Norman Luboff Choir. And then Susie's voice was sung by Norma Zimmer.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like Glenda the Good Witch.
Yeah, very similar.
I mean,
yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But she was a voice for, she was in Disney's Alice in Wonderland. She played in that and a lot of Disney films as well. But she was actually a singer, actress as well, and used to appear, and that will be, you know, I know we've got a few minutes for that, but Norma was also on another show and really well known for that, and that'll be our trivia question.
I believe I know the answer to that, and I'm not eligible.
Yep. I do not know.
Yeah.
Now, those are the only two that are really the stop motion animation, because then there was the Frosty the Snowman as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that
more
one was
traditional.
Done, yeah, more traditional animation, but still same company, and it was UPA Productions who produced that, and that was. It was a little rough, like it was a cheap way of producing cartoons, but that, like, if you remember Mr. Magoo, it was a lot of, like, quick moves and so forth. Gerald McBoing-Boing, I think it was with, and all the Dick Tracy cartoons were done by UPA Animation. So that one was done for Frosty the Snowman as well.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Refresh my memory when they would show these in the morning on Garfield Goose. You only got one a day, right? They didn't show you more than one a got Susie Snowflake, or you got Hard Rock Cocoa Joe, or
Frosty. Around the season, exactly.
And they would kind of alternate them.
And you remember what they would show it on?
Television.
Good answer, Bill. You are the king of trivia.
Well, when they would show cartoons, what would they show on Garfield?
Oh, that little screen.
The little theater screen.
Yeah, the little theater screen.
Yeah.
The little screen theater. I can't remember what it is. Jim Engle always knows the answer to that question. But the other cartoons around there were... Clutch Cargo.
Yeah.
Of course. And Diver.
Diver Dan.
That's what you're thinking of, right? No.
Well, Diver Dan was on with Ray Rayner.
And
Garfield Goose would run these Christmas. Yeah,
exactly. And the Funny Company.
Yeah.
The Funny Company.
And you can join for free, and Kids of Every Neighborhood Belong.
My God, you are bringing us back to our childhood when Christmas used to be fun and not a hassle.
Yeah. It's a little hassly right now, isn't it?
All right. People want to chime in. We're at 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments. We're talking Hard Rock Cocoa and Joe, Susie Snowflake, and Frosty the Snowman with Dave Plyer, and you're going to give away some DVDs.
Yeah, we've got a couple DVDs to give away, so we'll give away the first one. So who was Norma Zimmer? So that was Susie Snowflake's voice, but what was her claim to fame? What made her famous in the 60s, 70s, and 80s on what show? 312-981-7200.
Good. Give us a call right now. We'll be back and talk more next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe
and a button nose
and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say.
This was the first animated version of Frosty the Snowman.
That's
we got
right.
one later with Jackie Vernon where he kept saying, "Happy birthday!" For
with the weirdest story on the planet.
Very strange. very strange.
Yeah. You asked a question, a trivia question.
Yes. Yeah, so Norma Zimmer was the voice of Susie Snowflake, but she also had her claim to fame in the 60s, 70s, and 80s as a popular figure on one of the big variety show that aired actually on Channel 9.
Jim thinks he has the answer. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How are you, Wendy?
Good. You have the answer to this one?
Yes, she was the champagne music lady on the Lawrence Welk show.
Ooh, very good. Very nice.
I can't pop very loudly.
Oh, you did it nicely. That was very nice.
Congratulations, Jim. He won?
Oh, he's won a Hard Rock Cocoa and Joe. So it's a digitally remastered DVD that's got Hard Rock Cocoa and Joe, Susie, Frosty, and also has Peter Cottontail, which used to air early on in the days of Garfield Goose. But it's digitally remastered. And if you want to get a copy, you can get them at museum.tv.
Perfect. Hang on, Jim, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks, thank you. Likewise.
Dave, thanks. I will say something that will sound ridiculous, but that's what I do for a living. I know you say these are digitally remastered, but part of the charm of them is seeing all the little crackles and you know, while it's running.
Good question. So when we did that like 7 years ago, the gentleman I worked with wanted to take out all the lines that like held Susie Snowflake. And we started that way. And he said, look what I did. And I'm like, no.
It ruins it.
No, we'll take out the little pops and some of the crackles because it's really, really clear. But we left all the lines and everything. And my daughter said to me years ago when I first showed it to her, I said, look, you know, we digitally remastered them. We fixed them. She goes, you didn't fix them. They're still in black and white. You know? But they're classics, you know.
I like the word in Hard Rock Coco and Joe. There's a line where they go,
yeah,
it's Coco with Snowball and Joe. Yes. That's my favorite part.
We left that in.
I love that part.
Yeah, we left that in.
Why do you think these are so magical? What is it about these that for anybody who grew up in Chicago for years and years and years, we just remember them so fondly?
It was tradition. Wendy said, you know, it brings you back to childhood. So when you think about, you know, anytime you mention even the Clutch Cargos or Diver Den, anything, it brings you back to childhood. And we all kind of, I think about this all the time, that it was the one time in our lives because of all the media that we can, you know, through social media and Facebook and Snapchat and YouTube and Netflix and everything else, there's not a lot of shared experiences anymore. And that's something when we only had 4 or 5 television channels that we could all sit down and watch at the same time.
Right.
So it's something we all have in common to watch. And it was a holiday tradition.
Yeah. Love them.
We have time for one call, Bill. You pick it.
Oh, boy.
Get 75. Call her 75.
Do call her 3, because this is kind of the same, but a little bit different.
Hi, right. Duke. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. My question is, the TV member, Teddy O'Cinnamon, the Cinnamon Bear.
Yeah.
Oh, can I get a copy of that?
I can get you. We've got another copy of Hard Rock Coco and Joe I can get you, but I think we still have them in stock. Those go pretty quickly at museum.tv. But I have with me another Hard Rock Coco and Joe if you want them.
How about that?
Well, it's fine. Yes.
He wants Cinnamon Bear, Dave. Give him Cinnamon Bear.
Cinnamon Bear. How come I don't remember
that? It was a cereal that aired in the 40s and the 50s and so forth. Let me see what I could do for you. Give Kevin your information, and I'll see if I can track a copy down for you. How's that?
Oh, that is wonderful.
Cool.
Hang on, Duke. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Do you have Mannix that you can give him, Dave? What do you
have? I have all of those.
I only have Mannix season 4.
Oh, well, that's when things got good. Yeah. All right, but Cinnamon Bear, like you said, a radio serial, ran in the 40s, very popular.
It was also, they also put it to video, and I think like ABC like animated a bear also for that as well.
They did.
But yeah.
Nothing to do with Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
I don't think it did.
Not all right. Back
I don't
then.
Remember
no.
Cinnamon Bear.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Always fun to talk to you, Dave, and
pleasure.
You're going to be
thank
on the
you.
WGN Airways quite often in the next few weeks.
Yeah,
right?
I'm doing my show this weekend, the opening bell, and then our little holiday Christmas specials that air on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So
perfect.
My family's coming in. We're going to do that.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's the way it should be. Thanks,
Happy
Dave.
Holidays.
Merry Christmas to you.
That's Dave Plyer. Stick around. We'll find out what Ron and Anna have next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.